Last Monday, one of our two dogs was outside barking and not stopping. I decided I better go check on him. So I went outside and found our other dog lying in the grass in the dark with labored breathing. I called to my wife to come and help. Something was definitely not right. Our 10-year-old dog, Georgie, was never in the habit of lying in the grass at night. We knew something was wrong. With the help of my wife, we tried to get her to stand, which she did only very reluctantly. My wife ended up carrying her inside and putting her on her bed while her labored breathing continued. We were worried and spoke with the emergency vet, who agreed she should be seen right away. But the vet was over an hour's drive away. We hurriedly carried Georgie to the car and set off. Along the way, we sat mostly in silence, listening as her breathing got more and more shallow. When we could hardly hear it anymore, and still a good ways from the vet, we opted to pull off the road and park. We watched, tearfully, as our beloved animal companion of 10 years drew her last breath. Now, I admit, the pain involved with the death of a beloved family pet may pale in comparison to the immense suffering of war, to the death of a loved one, to a chronic disease or disability, or to a myriad of other situations, but it hurt nonetheless. The remainder of that night we spent in fitful sleep, going back and forth between dozing, crying, and praying. My repeated prayer was that somehow Jesus would take the pain we were currently feeling and unite it with his suffering on the cross. Because without that, this pain, this void, this searing emptiness I felt in my heart seemed meaningless. And there was no little consolation in knowing that Our Lady knows what it is to stand by helplessly as someone beloved to you suffers and dies. But did this suffering we underwent have meaning? Is there some way to make the regular, maybe even daily pain that we suffer, whatever it is, count for something?
This is the Best of the Week on Relevant Radio.
Our topic for the show today is redemptive suffering. And guiding our conversation is our spiritual director, Father John Eckert. Father Eckert is the pastor of Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Salisbury, North Carolina. Welcome back to the show, Father, and thanks for being with us.
Thanks a lot, Patrick. It's great to be with you as always.
Entering into this topic, I mean, it's nobody's favorite thing, I would think, to turn to looking at suffering, but it is so much a reality of life. Maybe let's turn to the scriptures first, Father. I mean, we obviously see a lot of suffering going on in Old and New Testament to the people of God. So how do we understand God's will in suffering in general from the scriptures?
Well, I think a good place to start, I'm going to start kind of where I did this morning with the Office of Readings from the Liturgy of the Hours in the psalm that the church gave us who pray the Liturgy of the Hours this morning in that first section of the Office of the Readings is Psalm 37. And I love the line. It says, "Calm your anger and forget your age. Do not fret. It only leads to evil." And I think that is it's a really good guiding principle of, you know, right out of the gate, remembering, and some of my favorite words from St. John Paul II, do not be afraid. And in that first homily that he gave, just 1978, October 22nd, you know, do not be afraid to open wide the doors to Christ. And when we go right to Jesus Christ, that is the key to all of this, because who is he but Emmanuel, you know, God with us. And before we can get into, you know, why did this happen? What's going on with this? It's the recognition, you know, that God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son, that, you know, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, the Word of God, became incarnate. I mean, here we are praying the Angelus, right? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So recognizing right out of the gate that God is with us. From the book of Exodus, as you know, we go through just like the warnings from God about oppressing an alien or a widow or an orphan. You know, he ends that beautiful reading with, you know, "For I am compassionate," which means I suffer with you. And so in the mystery of, you know, the sufferings that inevitably come in this life, and not all sufferings are the same, but we're not in a suffering competition. I mean, it's not like, you know, just because the suffering that I have right now is, you know, probably pales in comparison to, say, someone in my parish who lost a spouse. But we're not in a, you know, it's not like, well, I'm not allowed to suffer because her suffering is worse. Like, no, I mean, we all have things that are difficult to deal with just by the very fact that we are in time, right? That, I mean, right. Things come to an end. This is the season where we look around us that, you know, the leaves are falling off the trees. The days are getting shorter. You know, the plants are starting to die. I mean, it's this recognition that, yeah, we live in a fallen world and there is death and suffering and sorrow all around us, but that's not where it ends. You know, the Son of God became one of us. The Word was made flesh and dwells among us. God is compassionate, and he doesn't leave us alone in our sufferings. So yeah. I think that's probably, in my opinion, I think the best place to start, rather than fretting, which leads to evil, you know, we look to the cross and the fact that our Lord has not left us alone.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great promise too, Father, that the Lord is always here with us in our midst, that he is not far, he is not distant. Although, you know, honestly, I think the first response that we oftentimes have in the face of even immense suffering, maybe especially immense suffering, is, God, where are you in this? And so any tips on how we can remind ourselves or how we can recognize the Lord's presence with us while we are in the midst of suffering?
The way you just phrase that, I think, is really important. You know, where are you in this? Mm-hmm. To be talking to him, to be reaching out to him, because the very asking of the question is the recognition that you're not alone, that you're not just talking to a blank wall, that you're not just trying to anesthetize the situation with, you know, the many different distractions we have around us, right? I mean, okay, I'm feeling low. What am I going to do? I'm going to need a whole bag of Kit Kats. Like, no, that's not going to make me feel better, you know? I mean, what does that do? Maybe it masks the pain for a moment, but then I'm going to feel like garbage later on, you know? Whereas if in the midst of that pain, okay, so, you know, in losing your dog, right? Lord, where are you in this? It's the recognition that, and look at the glory of the created order. Look at the beauty of being able to be at peace with nature in such a way, you know, that you can tame an animal that's kind of like made to be wild, that's there with you, you know, that shows that type of affection. And, you know, to give glory to God for that, but then to also recognize that, you know, the dog there, like he can't fulfill you, you know, that the goodness in this world points toward the everlasting glory of God. You know, that he has come into this to show us that is on offer. And so to be with him in that prayer is to say that I know that you have this on offer for me. I know that this suffering isn't all that there is. And this is hard. And this is the type of thing where as you're with someone in the midst of their suffering, I mean, words kind of pale, right? Like I can't just come in to you, you know, come to you and your wife and just say, it's all right, it'll be fine. Like, no, yeah, right. Like that doesn't do the trick, right? I mean, if there were just some words that you could just say to someone in suffering that just take it all away. I mean, Hallmark would have already put them on a card and made millions more dollars, right? But yeah, that's just not the way. It's just not the way that life works. I mean, so what needs to be said in those moments is God is present with us. And so to be with him in that, to recognize that even in the darkest of hours, he does not abandon us. And so even if, you know, everyone else flees away, like our Lord is there, you know, you look to him on the cross. And I think this too, it's an interesting thing to think about. You know, there he is nailed between two thieves, right? And one of them reacts to his own suffering by, you know, basically cursing God. You know, if you're really God, you know, take us and yourself down from these crosses. But the other one merely says, you know, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Mm-hmm. And I would say, you know, when we are suffering, when we are hurting, to be like that good thief. Here we are fallen, right? Here we are, you know, experiencing the effects of sin and death all around us. And they are. I mean, we experience them every single day. You know, each day, I mean, we know, I mean, as we talk about this objectively, it's a little bit easier, but like we have a 100% mortality rate as human beings, right? Like we are all moving on towards our death, and we can see it a little bit every day. My hair gets a little grayer and a little thinner on top, you know, every single day. And that's just the way that it happens. But to remember that our Lord, that Jesus Christ, is in this with us, and to be able to say to him, Lord, you know, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Lord, be with me today. Like, help me to bear my cross. You know, not to curse him for the fact that we live in time, that things disintegrate, right? But to recognize that he's with us. And then this is the other glory of this season, right? And is the recognition that, you know, the falling leaves, the dying of things, the lessening of the light, that's not where the story ends. I mean, you know, the light will come to earth as we'll celebrate at Christmas. You know, our Lord, who goes down into the depths of hell after he's crucified and dies, rises from the dead. And so to cling to him who didn't run away from the cross, who embraced it and went through it, he shows us that on the other side is the resurrection. And so as we bear our own crosses, I think that the key is, and even if we have to say, Lord, where are you in this? Then let him show us where he is, where, you know, we need to continue to be purified, where we need to continue to cling to him in all things.
This entire episode of The Inner Life is on the Relevant Radio app. The Relevant Radio app is completely free and updated daily with fresh articles, podcasts, and prayers. Don't delay. Download the app today. And thanks for listening.